know, there is a big difference between writing a letter and sailing it off to the North Pole and saying a prayer to Jesus in heaven. And what we're going to talk about in this series is sort of how we can blend them all together. It's not a bash Santa Claus or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer or any of that type of stuff. Sort of how can we blend them all together? In the 4th century, there was a Greek priest who used to go around with gifts. His name was Nicholas. And later they made him a saint. And he would go around to different people and he'd give them gifts. And the whole idea of it was to remind them that God was with them. And so that's our topic this weekend, is in this season, the big idea, you can write it in your notes, this season, the whole idea is remember, we're not alone. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. In the Christmas season, just to remember that we're not alone, that God is with us. And there's a kind of a whole backdrop to what happened in the very first Christmas season. It's not an easy time. The Romans have come in and they've taken captive all of Israel. So if you can imagine, if like the worst country you'd ever want to roll into the United States, and all of a sudden they bring their language and their food and their ways of doing things, and the church has fallen into decline. The church of the day, the Jewish church, the leaders had gotten more concerned with controlling people than loving people. They had gotten way more concerned with scaring people with God than worshiping God. And they have all kinds of questions now. People don't know how to have a relationship with God. They're not certain what God expects. They don't know if they can measure up or what to do to even measure up. And there's this big question hanging in the air. Does God even care what I'm going through? I mean, they look around and then they see that, you know, they're an occupied state. And these Romans, that when they come in, they're a violent group, and they're like the big bully in school. I mean, they invented the cross, by the way. So they come in, and here's their big thing. When Rome rolls into a country, their whole goal is to make the people there feel inferior to them. Now, you know what that feels like. Maybe you have somebody at work, and every chance they get, they like to make you feel like they're better than you. Or maybe as you're looking into the holidays, you see the holidays approaching, and you know there's going to be someone in your family, and they always have to act like they're better than everybody else. They're better than you. Or maybe, you know, you don't spend much time with them, but you know, here it's going to come again. They're going to act like they're better than me. They have a better car. They have a better job. You know, they didn't fall off the wagon. I mean, they just act like that. So they're living, and everybody starts to wonder, does God even care about our life? Does he care at all? And into the whole thing, into all this sort of backstory, the church isn't doing anything to help anybody. Nobody is looking there. And you got the Roman bullies all around. Into the whole thing, God decides he's going to communicate and make it very clear that I'm with you. And he does it in the form of a baby. Look at this part of the Bible that tells us about it. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She'll give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. That's not in your notes, but it means God is with us. And Jesus is born into a normal, ordinary sort of a family. His parents, and he grows up as a child. And it all starts with this unwed mother named Mary. Let me read you. Someone wrote some kind of cool things. Questions for Mary. Famous Mary. Everybody knows Mary. But Mary was Jewish, and she was unwed, and she was a teenager. And the whole story sort of starts with, and listen to some of the questions. If I could ask Mary some questions, here's some of them. Someone wrote these down. Saying to Mary now, what was it like watching Jesus pray? Did you ever feel awkward teaching him how he created the world? Did you ever see him with a distant look on his face as if he were listening to someone that you couldn't see or hear? How did Jesus act at funerals? Did Jesus ever come home with a black eye? How did he act when he got his first haircut? Did he do well in school? Mary, did you ever have to scold him? Did you ever have to ask him a question about the Bible? What do you think he thought when he saw a prostitute offering to the highest bidder the body that he had made? Did he ever get angry with someone when they were dishonest with him? Did he ever wake up afraid? Who was his best friend? When someone referred to Satan, how did he act? Did his other brothers and sister understand what was happening? Mary, did you ever try to count the stars with Jesus and succeed? Mary's just an average teenage girl. And in this family, the very first Christmas, because, you know, the whole idea here is if we remember that God is with us, it takes the pressure off. It doesn't change our circumstances, but takes the pressure off. Please know, when you start to walk with Jesus, he doesn't rearrange your life so everything is easy. But he's with you in your life. And this very first family, as we look at some of the pressures they went through, it's a great picture. We can discover the same thing they did, that God is with us. So number one, right in your notes, we'll look at Mary. Mary was confused about the future, and here's why. Mary had a plan. She picked out a boy. She had a husband on the way. She already knew the house that she wanted up on the hill. She had the names picked out for the kids already. Mary already had a plan all picked out. Guys never have a plan. They're just looking for like who they think is the prettiest one. But girls already have a plan. They have all the names picked out. Like, don't be fooled when they ask you what the names could be, because they already have those picked out at 12 years old. And the whole thing's all planned out for them. Mary has a plan. And here comes God. He steps right in the middle of Mary's plan. And he tells her, our plans are compatible, but the details are a little different. And sometimes that's what happens with God. You start to move towards your holidays. You have it all planned out. These are the things we're going to do. And it starts looking like the video today. It's just all upside down, and it starts stressing out. And you know, they did a study. Psychological Association of America did a study, and 80% of the people said, I feel a lot more pressure during the holidays. 80%. I mean, you know, 20% of the people are lucky. You know, the rest of us suck. I mean, we got pressure all the time, you know, 80% of us. You know, if your other 20% would start getting stressed out, we could get 100%. You know, and we go through that. And so here comes, you know, here comes Mary, and let's read her story. It's a great story. It's in your notes. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled, circled that at his words, and wondered what kind of a greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He'll be great and will be called Son of the Most High, the Lord God. You'll give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you with power of the Most High, will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Kind of a confusing message. The angel comes and says, "Mary, Mary, you know, you're highly favored, you know, but you're going to get pregnant." And I'm sure Mary hears the highly favored. She's like, "Wow, God likes me." And probably like, wait a minute, what was that last part? I'm going to get pregnant. You ever get confused by the direction that God's taking you along? It just seems like, what the heck? I've got it all planned out, God, if you could just sort of leave things how they are. Or maybe you've made decisions and you weren't even planning. You just made some choices. Because do you know, whether you make a plan ahead of time or you just sort of choose as you go, you're working a plan. And God steps in the middle of it and he starts to rearrange it a little bit. And that's Mary. And of course, she asks the question that we would all ask. I mean, you're going to, you know, miraculously have a baby. And here's what she asks. She says, "Well, how's all that stuff going to happen? You're going to college and you're working and trying to take care of all the kids and you look down the road at the future. It's so normal to say from time to time, how's all this stuff going to happen? You're facing something in your life with debt, and you just rock back and you say to yourself, how is all this stuff going to happen? You get into difficult relationships with family members, and you're going to see them soon. and you want things to be better, but you ask yourself the question, how's it going to happen? And that's where Mary's at. God comes and says, this is how we're going to do it. And Mary says, how's all that stuff going to happen, God? And he says something to her. He says, oh, don't worry, Mary. God will take care of it. And I don't know about you, but I don't know if that would comfort you. I don't know if it would comfort me. If God were to come to me and just said, don't worry about a thing. God's going to handle everything. I don't know. Because I'm not that comfortable when I don't have some part to play, when some part of it doesn't rely on me, when I don't have some ability to make a difference, when I don't have some control, when I just have to sit back. Do you know what Mary's part was in the story? Keep breathing. Do you like that? How am I going to hit the goals this year in sales? How am I going to pay for the stuff that my kids need? How am I going to start to save for their college? How am I going to lose this weight with the holidays coming? I'm not going to. I'm going to put it off till March. But, I mean, you know. And what if God were to say to you today, I got it. I'll handle it. Would it comfort you? I mean, you know, we look at Mary and we think, oh, that was probably very comforting. But for me, sometimes it's not so comforting. I would rather God say, I'm going to use you mightily. And I'll say, great, and I'll give you all the credit. That's how I want it to go. I don't want God to say to me, just keep breathing. Just keep showing up as a mom. Just keep making the phone calls and sales. Just keep punching in at work. That's your part. Does that all of a sudden make you feel like, now I see how you're going to take care of all this? For you to decide. And Mary, she sort of, sort of gets her head around it and decides, okay, well, you know, God, if that's how you want it to be. And then all of a sudden she probably thought, Mr. Angel, who's going to tell Joseph? Who's going to tell him? And it must not have gone very well. Because the next place we pick up the story, Joseph is leaving her. And any guy will tell you, the lowest blow is unfaithfulness. Even back in junior high, when you find out your friend kissed your girl behind the school at the dance, she's your girlfriend, the lowest blow, the lowest it goes, the kick right in the new you-know-where, like we say back then, the lowest it can go. And that's where Joseph's at. He's like, I can't be with you, girl. You're unfaithful to me. You're pregnant. Yes, but Joseph, God did this to me. Oh, okay. Yeah. And so he decides to leave her. Let me ask you a question. Here's Mary now being completely faithful to God, and she's being accused of being unfaithful. Are you being blamed for anything that you didn't do? And you feel alone? Because isn't that when you really super, super, super feel alone? When you didn't do it this time. When it's not your fault. When you're not to blame. And everybody thinks that you are. And you're damned if you do. You're damned if you don't. Because if you defend yourself, everybody says, you're so defensive. If you don't say anything, they say, obviously you're guilty. And when you're in that spot, you feel alone. And Mary feels alone. And now Joseph is leaving. He's a good guy, but he's not perfect. He doesn't drag her through the streets and tell everybody how bad she is to get back at her. He just says, I'm leaving. I'm going to quietly disappear. And maybe you've had that happen to you before, where someone just quietly disappeared from your life. What we're talking about today is the desperation of feeling you're alone. You can have family, have people all around you and friends, as I'm sure Mary did, but on the inside you're feeling like, this totally sucks. I am alone in this. And that's where Mary's at. She tries to explain to Joseph, and he's not going to buy it. You can't blame him. And Joseph, the problem is things aren't so bright for him either. I mean, here's Joseph now. He decides to keep quiet. And I'm sure because he's quiet, everybody starts to be suspicious. Because listen, even if Joseph thinks that she didn't do it, everybody else thinks that she did. And he's not willing to risk that. I don't know if you've ever sat with anybody and helped them prepare for telling their parents or their family that they're pregnant. It's a really holy place to be when you have to sit with someone and they're like, oh. A friend of mine was talking to this guy in an airport. They had some time to kill. One of the flights was delayed. And it was Mike Meeks, a lead pastor in San Diego, and he told me the story. He said that the guy started talking to him about Christmas, and he said, how's your Christmas going? He goes, well, it's going real good this year. He goes, you know, last year was kind of a rocky Christmas, and Mike says, what happened? He says, well, you know, I'm a pastor, and Mike says, oh, I'm a pastor too. He goes, well, you know, for years I'm in a church, and it was real hard to break through, and we finally did, and the church started growing, and it got really super healthy, and there's lots of people coming. Tens turned into hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, and we really were breaking through, and I was sort of riding the wave of this for 2 or 3 years, and my kids grew up in that, and then my daughter was away to college, and she came back for this one Christmas, and it was going to be like the biggest Christmas we ever had in the church, and I was getting all the services ready. It was just going to be awesome. I hadn't really talked to her much, but I was going to. And I'm in my study preparing for the weekend, and I hear a knock at the door, and it's my daughter. She peeks in. Daddy, can I talk to you for a moment? And I looked up. I said, honey, I got just a lot to do tonight to get ready for the weekend, but we'll talk really soon, okay, honey? And she said, she opened the door a little further, and she said, Daddy, it's really important. He said he took one look at her, and he knew it was really important. So I said, oh, yeah, so come on in and sit down. And so the minute she sat down, the tears just started to roll down her face, but she wasn't sobbing. And she looked right at him and said, Daddy, I'm pregnant. And he said he knew he better not say anything because he didn't know what would work. So she went first and she said, listen, I know how good things are going in the church and everybody's following you and it's your dream is happening, Daddy, and I don't want to screw that up for you, Dad. I know what people are going to think, Dad, and I just don't want that. I don't want to mess everything up. So I've decided to go away. I'll just disappear. I'll just go away. And he told Mike, he said, you know, Mike, it was like an angel just lifted me out of my chair, and I went down and I knelt before my daughter, and I took her hands, I looked her in the eyes, and I said, honey, if they don't want you, they can't have me. In other words, I don't care what the people say. And that's what Joseph's going through. He's like, what are the people going to say? I'm some kind of loser that all I could get was this girl? What are they going to say my whole life raising this child that isn't mine? I can't go through that. I'm going to have to make another plan. What's approaching you this Christmas and it's got that kind of magnitude and you're like, you know what Joseph decided? I'm bagging the plan. I'm not going to do it. And if you ever really super, super, super committed to something, I mean, you have really super, super committed to it, because here's the good news. If you completely decide something like Joseph, I am bagging this plan, I am not doing this, there is hope for you. Because God can, he can step into anything. God can, no matter how committed I am to go a certain direction, if it's not what God wants for me, he can step. Listen to what happens for Joseph. Number 2, Joseph is afraid of his future. Now let's read the section of scripture there. But after he had considered this, an angel, so he's, I'm bagging it, I'm not doing it, we'll keep it quiet. After he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Exactly, talk about a double whammy. God gives you a dream, and then he says, nah, this guy's pretty committed to going the wrong way. I'll give him a dream, but in the dream, I better have an angel show up so he can really get his attention. That's how far God will go to try to stop me from going the wrong direction. I mean, you'd think for most people a dream would be enough, or maybe an angel, but God says, not this knucklehead. I have to put them both together. He's having a dream, and he's dreaming about what his future could be like. And then I guess he kind of comes to, and there's an angel in the dream going, yeah, I got to be here because you don't listen. Read it. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. It's a holy baby. This is God's plan. Nobody did anything wrong. In fact, they're doing a lot right. She'll give birth to a son, and you get to give him the name of Jesus. Can you imagine if you got to name the Savior of the world? Would that be awesome? Because he will save his people from their sins. Right as he's getting ready to take the exit, God puts a ginormous roadblock in front. Now, it is possible to run through a God roadblock. I have done it. You just talk your way around it. Oh, that can't actually be God, though. That's a silly thing. That was pizza that caused that dream last night. And that's not an angel. That's something from my subconscious Freudian brain coming up out of the... And the next thing you know, you talk your way through the roadblock. But Joseph doesn't. He decides to listen. And he gets to have a family with Mary, and he gets to have kids, and he gets to name the Savior, and he gets to raise the only person that has ever lived that has an answer for sin. God didn't want him to miss that. Now, I want to ask the question. As you're moving along through the holiday season, is there anything you're being blamed for that you didn't do? Because the day is the day, this moment, to get that settled. And then secondly, are you about ready to bag anything because of what people might think? Here's what Joseph learns. I can't control what people might think. In fact, the most important thing is not what people think, it's what God thinks. And it doesn't get all smooth for him. You've heard the story about the little baby in Bethlehem. Oh, little Bethlehem. Bethlehem was a little tiny one-horse town, broken-down place. And Joseph is coming there from Nazareth, which takes the better part of a week on a donkey. It's an 80-mile trek. We've made the sanitated Christmas story so cool. And, you know, we got a Fabian Jesus that we all see with blue eyes and long hair. He's a muscle guy. And he was from the Middle East. He probably had darker skin. He was Jewish, so get over it. He's not Fabian Jesus. This was a hard thing. This was a hard thing. They got to go on a donkey 80 miles. You don't even want to run down to 7-Eleven at 10:30 to get chocolate-covered M&M peanuts because it's too far to go. They're like a long, and then they get there, and they have to have the delivery room be outside of someone's garage. That's what's happening. And I'm sure Mary wanted it completely different. So here's the story. Have you ever started to follow God and thought, how come this is getting worse? I mean, I'm serious. Have you ever? I mean, it took a long time to decide, yes, God, I'm going to trust you. Oh, I'm going to trust you this time. I'm going to do exactly what you're saying, God. And you take two steps and you go, God, this is actually worse than the other way. I'm sure Mary wanted her friends there. I'm sure Mary wanted her family there. I'm sure Joseph wanted something better for his wife, which every dude does. But somehow, because they had discovered this, and you can focus on the pressure of your circumstances, or you can focus on God. And when they focused on God, they're like, we're not alone. We're not alone. We're not alone. We're not alone. And God does the oddest thing in the end of the story to convince them, to show them that they are not alone. He invites these shepherds to the party. Right in your notes, it's number 3. The shepherds feel disqualified for a future. The shepherds are like the carnies of the world. You know the guys that work at the carnival? Those type of guys, you know, that you don't let come around your kids and you keep people apart from and you're a little weirded out. It's the cheap carnivals, like, you know, these you go to and you got the guy working it, you know, and you're like, does this guy have any kind of a license or what is it like? Did he even go to school? And he's running the ride that your life is on. That's the shepherds. You know, they're way back in the kitchen washing the dishes. They're the ones that do the job that nobody wants. In Jesus' day, this was not a noble profession. In Jesus' day, if you were a shepherd, you weren't allowed to go to church. I mean, can you imagine that? Church is supposed to be for everyone. That's what, like East Lake, church for everyone. If you were a shepherd, they thought that your job was so bad, that you were such a low person that you would live with the sheep. They wouldn't even allow you to darken the door of church. You were not allowed to go to church if you were a shepherd in Jesus' day. And you were not allowed to set foot in a courtroom. If you were a shepherd, you couldn't be an eyewitness. You couldn't even go in a courtroom. You were not allowed. You're an outskirt. You're way on the outside of everything. Of all the people that Jesus, like, he's going to arrive and God's going to bring someone to comfort them. And we're not alone. And God picks Raider fans. And he's just like, what in the world are you thinking, God? Of course, I've always noticed that. As much as I think the Pope is great and everything, when you see him all clean and his flowing robes and everything seems so perfect, and that's awesome for him, it does seem like a pretty high bar to hit that one. But when you think of a Raider fan, you think, I can be that guy. I can hit that bar. If God's willing to use those guys, then maybe he could use me. And it seems like the Lord always does that. It's not that the great ones are awesome, Mother Teresa and all that's fantastic, but the reality is most of the time, God picks the one that makes you go, what the hell? What, that guy? His face all painted? It's the shepherds. Now let's read their story. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. They live out in the fields at camp all the time, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Can you imagine? Now listen, if your life is jacked up right now for whatever reason, and you think I better get it really super cleaned up so I can experience God, please remember the shepherds. Because they didn't have anything going for them, man. They're not even allowed within the city limits. And God reaches out to them. You got an unwed, pregnant, teenage Jewish girl that's been told for years, you're not good enough, you're inferior to us, I'm better than you. And then you got a guy slinking around going, all my drinking buddies and everybody else is going to think I'm a chump. And you got Raider fans. How's that for a Christmas story? But let me ask you a question. Can you fit in that Christmas story? Is that a little easier for you to walk into than the beautiful ones that we all think about all the time? Here come the smelly shepherds into town where they're not welcome. The glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they're terrified. They're like, they don't even want us at church, God. And God says, but I want you. They won't even let us in court, God. He goes, oh, I'm going to do something bigger than that with you. Let's read it. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news. Where I went to school, in elementary school, it was way back in the day when all the schools had this speaker above the clock and they could talk to all the classrooms at the same time. I don't know if you had one of those old type of schools, way before texting and phones and all that kind of stuff. They had a speaker up there. You talked to everybody at the exact same time. The buses will be late today or whatever. And there was always once in a while where you'd be in class and it would happen. Everybody would be scared. And we have an announcement to make. Will this student please come to the office? Robin Gaddis, please. Let me tell you something. You did not anticipate good news when your name was shot all around the school speaker. And here come the shepherds, and God stepping in for the first time. And what do you think it was like for them to hear, oh, hold on, you're not in trouble, settle down a little bit. Got to change teams, but other than that, I actually have good news for you. Now listen, some of you are in a crap storm right now. And you're not expecting good news. Because when you're in a crap storm, you're not supposed to get good news. You're supposed to get accurate news, but not good news. The best you can hope for is things turn out like they should. But this story is so different. The angels come. The glory of the Lord comes down around them. And as they start to freak out, we're not even allowed in church, God. What are you thinking? And the angels say, hold on. I have good, I hope you come. God, please give people the good news they need today. That's my prayer. Because what you need to hear and what I need to hear and what we all need to hear is our circumstances do not dictate the broadcast or the broadcaster. I have good news for you. Yeah, but I don't have any money. I just spend it all on this and that. And where's all the presents going to come? I have good news for you. But I have to see my uncle, and he always puts me down and acts like, I have good news for you. But my wife has to work, and we're not going to be able to have, I have good news for you. But we don't have our house. I have good news for you. And here's what they get to do. The angel said to them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. He says, I need you to go into town and tell everybody that they get to be saved. Joseph and Mary are a little freaked out right now. And I need you to be the ones to settle them down. How do you disqualify yourself? God could never use me. I don't know enough about the Bible. I haven't been to church long enough. I still smoke. I still drink. I have four kids from another wife. Whatever. God can't use me. That's why I picked the shepherds. And I bet it was freaky for Joseph and Mary when the shepherds walk in. I know we smell. Hang on a second. But we know something about that baby that you're about to have. And I'm sure that Mary was like, nobody knows that. How do you know that? An angel told us that, and it was scary. And she probably thought, I know. I remember. And Joseph's probably like, you think you got something? I had an angel show up in my dream. Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds, the Christmas story. So you and I will know, regardless of how much pressure our circumstances bring to bear on us, and they had their share, and so do you. You're not alone. There's nothing you've done. Just qualify yourself. There's no confusion that he can't straight out. There's no fear that he can't step into. And you know what it did for the shepherds that's so powerful? Is they had become very used to their low position. See, that's the danger. It's one thing when everybody thinks that you don't deserve a good life. It's another thing when you embrace it. And you become very comfortable never having what you want. That's the beatdown. That's where the shepherds live. I don't get invited to the Christmas parties. I don't get to go to church. And they've gotten used to it. They've gotten used to everybody thinking of them as an outcast. They've gotten used to having a dream and it never comes true. And God has to interrupt it. He steps right in the middle of it. He says, I don't want you to live that way. I'm going to let you see something that will convince you forever. A virgin is going to have a baby and it's going to be the Savior. He restores their hope. Just what he wants to do for you today. Now look at the bottom line in your notes. Well, what if we believe God is with us at the job and at the work? And what will people say? And it doesn't matter what people will say, because what matters, what is God going to say? And what if I just have to keep, what if my job this Christmas is just to keep breathing? Just make another sales call. Just put their shoes back on their feet. Just continue to be a mom. Just continue to show up. Just breathe. Just that's your job. I'll take care of it. And what if it doesn't matter at all? What if it doesn't matter what you've disqualified yourself from? What if the glory of the Lord is going to shine around you? Look what happens for Mary. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your words be fulfilled. She just decides, I'm gonna fall back into God will make it happen. 100%. What do you need this holiday season? God will make it happen. And look at what Joseph says. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him. Okay, God, I've seen enough. I'll take the girl as my wife. I'll care more about what you say, God, and think than what other people say and think. This year, I want to share my faith more. I just want more people to know that I walk with Jesus. And most of my life, I've been in the ministry. My full-time job, is my pay, everything has been being a pastor. And so it wasn't until I came to Salt Lake that that changed. And ever since I was young, I just got started young, and I went into the ministry, and I was fortunate. And so I've always been around Christians almost all my life. That's who I've worked with and everything. And, you know, that's not so hot either. But anyways, you know, I've never been out and about with the guys and everything. So now I work as a car salesman at a place. And let me tell you, I'm out and about with the guys. I've been reluctant to share my faith and let them see that I walk with Jesus. And for years, share your faith. You know, it's really good to do. And I slip into those shoes and I'm like, Because I'm afraid of what they might think about me. So I want to step into something different this year. I just want people to see it and see what goes on. I'm starting to test the waters at work. I just want people to see I follow Jesus. And what Joseph discovered was, just do what God said. Just do it. Don't worry about what people think. What God thinks is what matters. Joseph, you're gonna name the Savior of the world. You're gonna raise the Messiah. Just do it. Just keep going. Don't bag it. And then the last is these shepherds. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. Encircle this. And all who heard it were amazed. Now, these are the shepherds that people are listening to. They're not disqualified anymore. He takes them from the back room washing. He takes them from the back of the, you know, way back in the warehouse driving a forklift right up to the big office in the big chair. He takes the ones nobody would have picked. So here's what it is. When God says you're not disqualified, you just wait and see what will happen when he steps in. Because here come the shepherds who nobody would listen to, and now everybody's listening to them. Who needs to hear your voice this holiday? And you've been wondering, will anybody listen? And you're probably not even as low as the shepherds. But when God speaks through you, everyone listens. And this is the season that we remember that God is with us.